You're listening to Like a Real Boss podcast, where we go beyond the title and unravel the complexities of being a boss. If you're a head honcho, top dog, or queen bee, this is for you. Get insight from experienced leaders and passionate workers. This is your wake-up call. Ready to get bossified? Now, your host and the real-life boss, Tiana Sanchez.
Welcome and thank you for joining another episode of Like a Real Boss. This is Tiana Sanchez, your host, and thank you for tuning in and listening to us today. I believe that this is going to be the best 30-minute investment of your time because it's important to invest in yourself. And you know, you might be in your car on your way to work, maybe in awful traffic, or maybe you're actually at work already taking a little afternoon break and you decided to tune in, or maybe you're already at home with your feet kicked up on the coffee table with maybe a glass of wine, if that's your thing, and you decided to listen to us. So wherever you are, we appreciate it and believe that, again, this is going to be the best 30-minute investment of your time. So this is the place where you get tips, tricks, trends, tools, where we talk about the stuff so you can be a better boss podcast. I'm not really sure where you are in your leadership journey. Maybe you've been doing this thing for a long time. You've gotten decades. You've been in it. You've been living through it. Or maybe you're brand new to leadership in your role and you really want to find ways to be more effective. Or maybe you're thinking about it. You haven't really taken that leap into bossdom and you're really considering if this is the right path for you. So wherever you are, we're glad that you're tuning in. And just so you know, you can find us a couple of places. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher, on Spotify, Spreaker, and even on SoundCloud. So make sure that you drop us a note and comment. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. Let us know what you want to hear. And we do our best to bring in the most effective and dynamic people we can because it's all about passionate workers and dynamic leaders. And today's guest will not disappoint. She happens to be a dear friend, but also someone who is thriving in her business. And I thought she would be the best person to talk about this. So I want to get into the topic today and introduce our guest, who is my dear friend, Cecilia Gorman. And, you know, Cecilia comes from the advertising industry. She has over 20 years, and I'm not dating you, Cecilia, but just giving you years of experience, right? Right. 20 years in production, recruiting, and HR. She's also certified with the John Maxwell team. And if you're anyone listening to this show, I'm sure you know who John Maxwell is. If you don't, you better recognize and go find that out. But she's certified with the John Maxwell team and the owner of her own business called Creative Talent Partners. It's a training consultancy that specializes in the development of new and struggling managers. So guess what? She is speaking my language. We're friends. We're not competitive. It's collaborative, but this is what she does. She's also the co-founder of Empowership. It's a year-long training and mentorship program that she designed exclusively for women. So men, we love you, but this is a program exclusively for women. And it's been her mission to inspire, educate, and motivate employees toward their greatest potential. Cecilia, my dear friend, welcome to the show.
Hello, hello, Tiana. So excited to be here. I feel like I've been waiting for this for a while. It's like Christmas morning today.
I'm so excited. I know. I'm like, okay, yes, let's get her on the show. Why have we not done this already? But we're here now. So, you know, we have a lot of topics, and this is a topic, again, that cannot be talked about enough in our climate and where we are with leadership and women in leadership and just in our society in general. And we're talking about thriving and really how we can help women specifically thrive. Now, I like this word thrive because for me, it's not just surviving. You know, sometimes we think about, okay, well, how can I just get by? Let me just make it through. Let me just do what I got to do. But that to me, it doesn't really encompass everything. And I like to say we're thriving, and I believe you do too. So why does this topic matter, Cecilia, to you in our world, in our climate today, in our workforce? And why are you the best person to talk about it?
Well, I think the most basic thing that comes to mind is, why does this matter to me? Well, because I'm a working woman, right? So there are things that I want to see in my own life. I want to see fulfilled. I want to have that feeling of thriving. But just through compassion and empathy from everyone else that I work with, I want to see all women feel this way. Now, thrive is a great word. It's like it brings all this color to our mind. But the thing that becomes complicated about thriving is it means different things to different people. So we actually have to put some descriptors around, what does it mean to thrive. It's actually a feeling. It's not a state we reach. And once you're thriving, you're good and you don't have to worry about it again. It's a feeling that you have throughout your career. It's, do you feel balanced? Do you feel whole? Do you feel fulfilled? Do you feel confident and valued and supported? And they're all these great words. And I think for me specifically, that's my goal, is to have a job, have a career that makes me feel like I'm accomplishing that. So why me to talk about it? Well, as I grew in my career, as I advanced up in the ranks, I started managing and mentoring more people. It became pretty clear that all women struggle with these feelings in the workplace, of feeling that maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I'm struggling in my position. Maybe I just had a family and I don't know where to turn. That to some degree, women have a bit of a struggle when it comes to this idea of thriving. It's a goal that we all want to reach, but it's a common thing. And so it just became part of what I wanted to solve. When I started focusing on doing more formal development, more coaching, I was like, okay, all people have struggled, but women in particular, I think we could use our own tribe to address this particular challenge.
So thrive, as you described it, is more of a feeling. And it's a feeling that we get when we, to use your words, feel balanced, feel whole, and feel fulfilled, and some other descriptive words there. And I imagine, though, that feeling of thrive or thriving comes from, at least for me, when I feel as though, whether it's I've reached a sense of accomplishment, maybe I've reached a set of goals, when I really feel, and maybe that's where that balance comes in, where I'm feeling good over here in this area as a wife, as a mother, as a owner of my company. I'm feeling good over here that I'm serving the community, that I'm dedicating my time and doing X, Y, and Z. And so I feel as a whole that I'm thriving. What have you seen, and what would be some descriptions of those that are not thriving? And I know we could just look at the opposites of, I'm unbalanced, but what have you seen with the women that you have worked with that are not thriving? What does that look like?
Well, women who aren't thriving, I think there's a range to how that can show up in the workplace. It may be that I just don't bring the best attitude with me all day long. It may be all the way to the extreme of I've just given up that this job is going to be valuable and fulfilling to me. And you're absolutely right when you talk about it's a whole woman thing. If I'm thriving at home, I'm thriving in my personal life, I'm really eating healthy, my finances are in order, if I'm thriving in other areas of my life, it seeps into how I show up at work and vice versa. So if you're talking about somebody who's not thriving, you're going to get things that probably are the same things we describe as somebody who's disengaged. Maybe they're gossipy a bit. Maybe they are negative. They have a sense of pessimism. Maybe they're opting out of company-sponsored things. They're not participating to the level of degree. Their productivity goes down. So there's a range and a possibility for somebody when they say, I feel like I'm not thriving, how that shows up. So it's bad for the employee, but it's also bad for the company.
Right. And if I, work in an organization, is it something that other people, because you use the words disengage, and I know sometimes we can see behaviors and actions in others that will indicate whether they're disengaged or actively disengaged. From someone who knows me, and maybe someone who works with me, is it easily recognizable in others? Because sometimes we might look at someone, again, see that they have some kind of an attitude or, acting a certain way, and we may chalk it up as something else. And, they're just having a bad day, or, they didn't get this, or they didn't get that. And because I do believe in a collaborative environment, I do believe in people helping one another. If I happen to see someone's behaviors in a work environment, or my fellow sister, mm-hmm. my fellow female worker, are there signs that I can recognize? Are there things that I can do to determine or assess whether or not this person is actually experiencing some of what you just described?
Well, that's an excellent question, because I think it's a state, right? It's a feeling. So I may not be thriving this summer because my mother-in-law moved into my house and it's been tumultuous and we're crowded and we're cramped and we're trying to figure out a new family dynamic. And then she may move out and go on her own. And then I pop back into feeling a little bit better. So it fluxes based on the things, or maybe I got a new boss and now I'm feeling a little intimidated and I got to prove myself. So to see somebody in a state of, let's just say, not thriving, I look at you and I go, something's up. Something's up with either this person on my team or my coworker. the only thing that we're going to be able to get to on what's wrong is opening up the lines of communication, because we can't guess on what's wrong with them. We may make assumptions, oh, they just got a new boss and I can tell they're not really getting along. But until we start feeling like we can talk to each other about, hey, what's stressing you out? Hey, is anything, you know, changed? Can I help you with something? Till we really get to what the person is struggling with, because honestly, I may keep that to myself. I may never bring up something that I'm struggling with. The only way we're going to be able to figure out is if we bond as women and we say, hey, listen, you be my wingman and I'll be yours. But if you see a shift in me, can we just talk about what we might be struggling with? I don't know if that entirely answers it, but I feel like at the end of the day, we got to have those open lines of communications to help us figure it out.
It always comes down to communication, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And it's tough. We say that like it's an easy thing, but you know, people's comfort with it, especially if it's something personal or they feel like in a work environment, I shouldn't be struggling with this, or why isn't this easier for me? I may not want to share that with coworkers.
And people don't want to get personal, but let me just give you a truth pill real quick. If we're people, it's always going to be personal. It's everything is always personal. I shared on the show many times that when I was a young 17-year-old manager, my favorite phrase to say is it's not personal, it's business.
Yeah.
And that was a very young, immature 17-year-old mindset about what it meant to be a manager or leader at that time. And it took me years. I didn't even actually know that wasn't how you should be approaching a leadership role until years later. And in any work environment, it's always personal because you're dealing with people, and people, we are personal human beings that as soon as we walk through the door at work, our lives don't just disappear. What we're experiencing in our personal life or what have you does not disappear. And so if we can have those open lines of communication, as you said, kind of a supportive partner, a wingman, mm-hmm. or hey, you know, hold me accountable if you see there's something, you know, there. You know, with women in particular, you know, there's been this year, and not just this year, but certainly recently with women in leadership and certain movements. And, you know, in March, we celebrated Women's History Month, and they had this hashtag called #PressForProgress. And mm-hmm. if we want to progress as women, what will be required of us? I know you have some data that you recently did. I want you to talk about that with our listeners.
For sure. So I want to just talk about the premise of Empowership, which was a company that I co-launched with another woman. Our company Empowership came to being based on this sentence called, what does it take for a woman to thrive? That simple question, what does it take for a woman to thrive? And my partner, Chelsea Szabo, she did a survey. She asked women in the workplace, what does it take for you to thrive? And if you're not thriving, what is it? And so the answers to that question, I think, are telling when it comes to you saying, what's it going to take for women to progress? So women identified 5 things that say, if I'm not thriving, here's why. The first thing they said, if I'm not thriving because my inner critic is holding me back, that voice inside my head that runs that reel, I'm not good enough, I shouldn't speak up, what am I doing, I can't go for that job. So out of our respondent, the people who said they weren't thriving in the workplace, 50% of them said, it's because of my inner critic.
Wow.
All of us have an inner critic to some degree. The next stat was, I just don't feel confident. So out of the non-thrivers, 57% of them said, I'm not thriving because I just don't feel confident speaking up. I don't feel confident raising my hand in a meeting. I don't feel confident going to my boss when I've got troubles or a challenge in front of me. Then the next thing was authenticity. Non-thrivers, 50% of non-thrivers say, I just can't be my true self at work. I'm Cecilia at home, and I have a particular personality, but when I get to work, I'm like work Cecilia, and I don't like that misalignment, that dissonance between who I really am. I feel like I have to show up differently at work. Maybe I have to act like a man, or maybe I have to be a little brazen, and that doesn't suit my personality. Of course, women are saying, I'm not thriving because I'm out of sorts with my balance and flexibility. So 66% of our non-thrivers said, it's because my life is out of balance. And then the last one, which actually was the springboard for Empowership, out of the non-thrivers, 80% of them said, I'm not thriving because I don't have a woman in my workplace in a senior leadership position reaching down and mentoring me and helping me. I just don't see those role models. So that's a lesson for all of us, I think, at any stage. But
when
I saw those stats, when my partner, as a result of her survey, came up with these stats, I was like, oh, we got to work on this. Because when you look at the kind of training and development that companies usually give, and if they give it to women in particular, it's not on inner critic. It's not on authenticity. There might be a lunch and learn on balance or a public speaking class, but we're talking about issues that are really personal and really specific to women in general. Now, I'm sure men have balance challenges. I'm sure men have an inner critic. Maybe some of them have confidence problems, but we're really dealing with things that women have said, this is why I'm not thriving, folks. You got to help me out.
So I'm curious, because I totally get the women in leadership. You know, over 50% of our workforce is made up of women. And there is, I want to say, I read a study and it was like maybe 5% of women were in senior leadership positions at Fortune 500 companies. 5%, I think it was 5.2% out of all the Fortune 500 companies. And that is a statistic that is very real when you think of women in senior leadership positions or even a C-suite level. Mm-hmm. Most women, if they are in a management level, Cecilia, are in that mid-level. They're kind of in that mid-tier, but that leap to a C-suite is really almost unheard of. And so I recognize that that is something that is happening. But what is interesting and what I'm curious from you is, are the respondents saying that in order for me to thrive, to have this feeling of balance, wholeness, and fulfillment, that would increase if I were receiving some kind of mentorship from a woman in a leadership position, or just me seeing someone to like, wow, I could aspire to be that as well, that impacts my personal feeling of being able to thrive?
So I think it's a little bit of both. So obviously, female role models and high levels of position, even if that woman doesn't even know my name, I can look at her and go, you go, girl. I want to be like you someday. And that's going to give me hope, which I think we need to have in the workplace. But it's more so that women who feel like they're thriving, there's so many more adjectives that go along with that feeling. I feel that I'm supported. I feel like I'm taught. I feel like there are opportunities for advancement for me. And so that's what I feel like we're going to get from our mentors, that somebody is reaching down and supporting me and giving me life lessons and helping me in the workplace and carving out time for me. And the interesting thing, I don't know the exact number, but I read somewhere that said women in senior leadership positions, it was an incredibly high number, like 80% or 85% of them said, if asked, I would absolutely mentor someone, if asked. So you have employees saying, oh, those women up there, they're not mentoring me and I feel a disconnect. But yet you have women in senior leadership positions saying, well, if someone would ask me, I absolutely would. There's no way I would say no to that. So there's a disconnect between those.
Right. So you're hearing it here that if you, again, want to see certain change, you have to be willing to make that change happen. Years ago, I heard the phrase that says, a closed mouth does not get fed. So you have to open your mouth and ask for it. The worst that somebody is going to say is no. And you have to be willing to take that chance. But I would be encouraged listening to that last sentence that you just said, that a large percentage of women in leadership positions would absolutely mentor someone else. If they asked. And so that tells you again, and maybe that feeds into some other areas of fear or, you know, of just their position confidence. Absolutely. So I do want to talk about the second highest, because you talked about the women in senior leadership positions on your Thrive survey, 80%. The second highest was the out of balance, mm-hmm. 66%. Now, I just recently did another interview with a woman who talks about the sandwich generation, the sandwich bosses, those that are in caregiver positions. Now, to no surprise to me, a large percentage of caregivers are women. Mm-hmm. And I want to say it was high up there, like 80% or so. So you have workers, you have individuals, women in positions of leadership or just working professionals that are working, bringing home the bacon, raising the children, but now in this generation or the sandwich boss, as she called it, where they're now caregivers. So they have this responsibility where they're caring for their ailing parents or their adult children in some capacity. And again, a large percentage of these are women. So again, it didn't surprise me, but when I hear the out of balance, that made me think about that 66%. Mm-hmm. Have you found some of those with the clients that you've worked with that some of those reasons are coming out, like having to take care of family or having to do all these other things that give them a sense of feeling that they're not thriving?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think there is pressure on companies today to figure this out. How do we become a more flexible work environment? For a variety of reasons. It could be people are aging up. So you have more people whose parents are now in that caregiving age. So you have a huge population of workers who now may become caregivers. I think people are becoming more attuned to what the obligations that they have with their children, things they want to do in their personal life in addition to work. You know, years ago, you just had a job. That's all you did. And then on Saturday, right, maybe you did something fun. But I think people are opening up to, no, I also want to be a musician. I also want to do some writing. And how do I fit that in my life? So there's pressure on a company to figure this out. Some companies, I think, are doing a better job than others. But I just want to clarify, and I think what helps is for us is when we say employees want more balance, I think when you say that, what people hear is, I want to work less. I want to clock out at 5:01. And that's not what it means. People want a feeling that they're in control of their whole life. And maybe that means I have to run my daughter to the dentist next Wednesday and I'm not going to be in till 10:30. I want to feel in control that I can make that decision and know that everything is going to be flexible and allow me to do the things I need to do. Maybe every Thursday I have to leave at 3 because guess what? That's when my elderly mother has a standing doctor's appointment. But just the faith and the trust that I'm going to come back online or I'm not going to drop the ball on anything. And in an environment where you don't have flexibility, you don't feel in control, you feel like you can't thrive.
And I want to be able to do those things knowing that I'm not going to get a ding from my right. boss that she's going to give me or uh-huh. he's going to give me the side eye when I come back to work right. the next day for fear of, and I don't know if retaliation is the right word, it's not, but just that feeling
guilt.
That
you feel guilty.
You do. You feel guilty or you feel like, wow, I got to call out sick because I have to take this day off to run my parents to the doctor or what have you. And you feel like, okay, now I'm going to be in that bad category. You know how they're going to make a mental note that so-and-so called out, you know, and that's just wrong. That's just wrong anyway from we have to, again, as I said it earlier, we're all human. We're all people and life happens and we have to have a little bit more compassion, a little bit more empathy. I'm not saying turn a blind eye to someone who's abusing the system, and you would have right. to find out and define what that abuse looks like. Because if someone is calling out sick frequently, there may be something else going on that you may need to investigate in terms of, you know, maybe something recently just happened in their family. So don't just automatically assume mm-hmm. the negative, right? Investigate, open up the lines of communication, right, Cecilia, like yep. you said, and ask the questions. But I like that you clarify what balance means, because I think you said it well. When people say balance, what they hear or what people interpret is, I want to get off early. I want to leave. Yeah. And that's yeah. not necessarily true. Flexibility. And there are companies, like you said, they're doing this better, some better than others, offering more flexible work schedules and offering, you know, different things and well-being things in their work environment. So, and that was one of the things you mentioned that organizations can do. Are there any other things that organizations can do to help women thrive besides maybe yeah. a flexible work environment? What else?
Well, one of the things that came out of Chelsea's Thrive Project survey was a chart that we made, and it's called the Thrive Factors. And if you picture Maslow's hierarchy of needs, if you're familiar with that, it's this triangle, and it says that at its foundation, you need to have some basics in place. And at the bottom of Maslow's hierarchy of need, it's things like water and food and shelter, and that you can't advance as a thinking, growing human being if you're worried about where your next meal is going to come.
Right.
And there are higher level needs as you rise up in the ranks. Well, we came up with something called the Thrive Factors, and it outlines the things that a company needs to have in place in order for employees to start thriving. And so what can a company do? Well, let's make sure you have adequate benefits. Let's make sure the workspace is functional. Let's make sure that people have seen their job description, that there's some role clarity. Let's make sure that there's a vision for the company. And there are just elemental things. I'm not going to thrive if I'm, let's say, an art director or designer, and every time I go to save a file to the server, I get a message that says the server's full, or the color copier is broken every other day. like those teeny frustrations in the workplace add up to people. And so foundationally, a company needs to make sure that the environment is safe. One of our respondents said, I would thrive if my company had a coffee maker.
Wow. A Keurig?
Like, and another woman said, she was a young girl. She says, I just got this job. And it was curious to me because they didn't have air conditioning. And this particular woman worked in New York City. She goes, so after a few months, I was like, now this is really weird. Like, we don't have air conditioning. We're all in here and we all have beads of sweat on our upper lip. And she said for a year, she battled back and forth in her mind on why she was working at a place with no air conditioning. Finally, she was like, I'm done. I deserve to work in an environment that's functional and allows me to be a human. So I'd be happy to share this Thrive Factors triangle with anyone who wants to see it. But there are foundationally some things a company needs to have in place. And once you have those, then you can move on to things like, are there learning and growth opportunities? Do you have a flexible environment? Do you promote team dynamics and communication? Do you have a system for appreciating people? Is creativity and collaboration one of the priorities at your company? How are coworkers building trust with each other and the people they report to? All the way up to at the very top of the triangle, when you say, I am absolutely thriving, I have purpose. I feel meaning. I feel confident. I feel fulfilled. I feel balanced. I feel engaged. I feel appreciated, respected. All these wonderful words that women want to feel about themselves, not only at work, but in their life.
And the Thrive Factors that you described, what I heard again, were some basic foundational needs, which says a lot about organizations who believe they know what people want. Oh yeah, all we have to do is do this and we have to, you know, create that. But do you really, have you asked your employees? Because you did ask them, and here's what they've said. I know some companies will participate in what they call engagement surveys to see how engaged their employees are. And there's all different types of surveys, but I know I worked with a client and they conducted one and they had some basic needs that individuals were feeling that were unmet. And some of them were listed, they were talking about the workspace and the work environment and the safety. And I don't think I saw a coffee maker on there, but there were some, there were some others, right? And certainly as a trainer, and I know Cecilia being someone who does a lot of facilitation and training as well, I know I am very mindful when it comes to the learning environment and the room. I always ask, okay, what is the room set up? How is it going to do? How are we? I'm from the table set up to the food in the room, to the temperature in the room, to the timing of the breaks, to when we start, to when we end. Mm-hmm. Those small, minute details may seem frivolous, but they're not, because they impact the learning environment and how the learner is going to participate or be engaged. I've had many a times where, you know, people are cold in the room and that affected how they learned.
Yeah.
That affected their experience, right? So we don't want to overlook those, what we might think of seemingly small details, but those are, again, needs that need to be met in order for an individual to feel as though they're thriving. And then you can expand, as you said, higher up the pyramid with some other areas as well.
Yeah. Well, and also the other thing that tends to happen is that companies confuse what they think the employees need. So they're like, what do you mean? You can bring your dog to work and we have a ping pong table. And the person in the meantime has said, well, I've never seen my job description, or I don't even know who I report to. Who does my performance review? Like, they're confused about something totally different. And the company's thinking, oh, if I just have more happy hours, everyone's going to be great.
Exactly. Making assumptions of what they think. Open up the lines of communication and ask. Mm-hmm. Open up those lines of communication and ask. As we wrap up, here's something that I want to know. If I'm listening to the show and I'm a listener, I'm listening to the show and I'm thinking, you know, a lot of this sounds like something that I'm experiencing, and I want to know maybe what I can do to experience this feeling of fulfillment and joy and balance and wholeness and support. What can I begin doing today? Because I believe in the incremental steps. You know, we may not see change happen immediately, but it does happen over time when we begin to apply some tips or suggestions. Mm-hmm. So I want to know, what can our listeners do to move in that direction of being more, again, fulfilled and supported and so on?
Well, I think that first step is to realize the core pillars of what women said as reasons they weren't thriving are internal reasons. My inner critic, my confidence, my authenticity, my feeling of being in control of my work and my home life, that balance, right? So that's an important thing, because if we keep looking to our boss to say, hey, I'm not thriving, I'm going to blame it on you or you have to solve it, we have to realize I might need to work on my inner critic. I might need to work on my confidence. So there may be some things you can do personally that will help you. And that can come through all sorts of ways, right? You can read some books, you can watch some trainings, you can go, you can, if you raise your awareness about these issues, I think the way that you can fulfill them will come to light. So the first thing is to say some of that work has to come from within. That's not to say you need to speak up about the things that are making you feel less than thriving at work. And so it is going to your boss and saying, hey, listen, I know we have a running battle with the copier, but can I just tell you how much delay that caused in my workday, and how much frustration, how much more productive I could be if it was fixed? What can I do to expedite this? Would it be helpful if I went straight to IT? Like, start asking the right questions to get some of the things resolved for you. So it's a combination of looking within and asking externally, what can I do to help push this forward? You really have to identify at the end of the day, everyone's struggle is going to be personal. So at the end of the day, why do I feel like I'm not thriving? Like, if I had to make a list of 5 things and look at those on paper and start to feel like, what are some steps I can take to move those forward? So it's about ownership and communication and personal introspection.
I like that. I like that, because those are good questions, again, that we can ask ourselves. And I do like that it's that some of it is internal. The majority, as you said, is internal, which leads me to believe if I'm not thriving, there's a big part of me that can change that. Mm-hmm. And it can change whether it's how I have a conversation with someone, is that how I look at something, it's making sure that certain needs are being met. And again, it's going to open up, hopefully, the lines of communication with other people, whether it's in your work life or your home life. So
for sure. So if you take something like in the middle of the triangle, the response, so at the bottom of the triangle, the company's completely responsible for that, right? You don't, the employee doesn't have a say if it's physically safe or if the copier is broken or the benefits aren't adequate. But as you get to the middle of it, those are shared responsibilities. So if you take something like learning and growth, an employer can provide training opportunities. Maybe they have a trainer come in. Maybe there's a class you could take. They're going to pay for you to go to an online course. If you don't lean into that and participate, then it's going to do you no good. If the employer is saying, hey, here's the opportunity to work on a more challenging project, and you say, oh, no, I'm too busy, I can't do it, right? So there becomes a point when your ability to thrive is a shared responsibility. Your company can serve it up on a platter, but you need to take a serving.
Right. Love it. Now, you mentioned the Thrive Factors, and you said that people can get a hold of it, because now, if I'm listening, I want the tools. I want to be able to get out there and do something with this information that you're sharing with me. So, Cecilia, if people want to get a hold of the Thrive Factors and see this pyramid, how can they do that?
So the best way to get a copy of this is you can connect with me on LinkedIn and just drop me a note, and I can email you a PDF. You can also email me, which I think you're going to share. It's hello@creativetalentpartners.com. Happy to send that to you. The Thrive Factors became the foundation of Empowership. So at empowership.me, that's the overview of our program for women. It's a year-long program, and we specifically teach on the core pillars that women say hold them back from thriving. So our whole year-long curriculum is based on how do we address authenticity, how do we address flexibility, balance, inner critic, et cetera. So a couple of ways to do that. I'd be happy to share this chart with anyone, because it's good to look at, and maybe you just circle the words that are coming to light for you. Where do you feel like you are struggling? Where do you feel like you're doing a great job? It helps to see that visual.
And is your empowerment program offered on the website if people want to say, hey, I want to see if I'm qualified to participate in this program? Would they go to your website or email you?
Yep. So empowership.me is our website. And gotcha. We currently run our program June to June. So you can sign up for a membership. It's not too late to sign up for the one that we just launched June 1st, because we're just getting into our teaching sessions and everything is recorded and archived. Typically, we sell to employers who want to support their female population. So individuals can sign up, but we also sell to employers and say, hey, listen, we want to sign up all of our women for the year, or we want to sign up all of our mid-level managers for the year, or we want to use it as a promotion perk. So there's different ways to use it in the company. But yeah, I think the overview of it going to the website would be the best place.
So if you are interested, you can reach Cecilia Gorman either on LinkedIn, which you can find her there, or you can email her at hello@creativetalentpartners.com, or you can go to empowerment.me, which is the website for the program that she just described, which is a year-long program, if you want to get a hold of her or find out more about that program, maybe bring it to your organization. You know, so that could be something that, again, is would be a way of moving the needle forward for you. So thank you, Cecilia, so much for your time today. Again, we like to bring topics on that are going to provoke some thought long after the episode airs. The best gift that you can give is to share this information with someone else, because you never know, that person may need it more than you. Clearly, there is opportunity for us as individuals, but also as us as women, to support other women in these areas. And so we want to create thriving professionals, leaders of all sorts and organizations in the workplace and outside of the workplace. So thank you again, Cecilia, for being our guest today. Make sure you reach out to her if you're interested in hearing more. I always like to, again, remind you at the end as well, you can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher and Spotify. Make sure that you let us know what you like, what you don't like. Leave us a comment, because it does boost our rankings and helps people to find us. So we're glad you tuned in. Find us again on Like a Real Boss. As always, I leave you with this quote: everyone wants to succeed, but not everyone is willing to do the work. If you are willing, I will help you do your work. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Like a Real Boss podcast with Tiana Sanchez. We are your ambassador, helping you go from good to great to extraordinary. To learn more about awesome offers, training programs, books, and more, head over to www.nolimittoyoursuccess.com. Until next time,